Hello and good morning. So, the new football season is upon us. Well, almost. And I hope that some of my dear listeners are aware from my previous talks that I like the football game, and I'm a keen follower of the game, especially the Premiership. Some of you, I hope, and must be a forlorn hope, may recall that I am a Liverpool Football Club fan. So, of course, I'm looking forward to this new season. And by the way, Liverpool is kicking off against Leeds United, the newly promoted club to the Premiership this season. But I'm also apprehensive. Liverpool won the cup this last season, and I am, like all the club's fans, obviously eager that Liverpool win the cup for this season as well. After all, Manchester City won it for 3 seasons in a row and were good candidates to win it even this last season as well, except that they somehow faltered a little and allowed Liverpool to pass them by. So, all you Liverpool fans, please join me in praying for a second season of club winning for our lovely club. Liverpool, of course. Fans of other clubs will be praying for something else. Now, the question is, how enthusiastic are you about football? Terribly enthusiastic? Mad about it? Maybe. But can you spare a thought for that erstwhile champion footballer turned coach to Liverpool and some other Scottish clubs, himself being Scottish-born? I'm speaking about the late Bill Shankly, who died in 1981. He was the one who went absolutely nuts about football. And his most famous quote is, wait for it, some people think that football is a matter of life or death. I can assure you, he continued, it is not. It is much more serious than that. Well, one can laugh, and I certainly do. But when someone has spent all his useful span of life in football, he is forgiven for being so enthusiastic. However, just to allay your fears, my dear listeners, I am not like that. I do not compare football with life or death. But I do like football, and it's a game of skill, physical ability, intelligence, and proper teamwork. Of course, other games have similar qualities, and rugby football is another of these games that require comparable skills, as is cricket and basketball and so on. Other games may not include teamwork, such as tennis and golf, but of course, they require their own skills and stamina. There is obviously a lot of money in these games and many administrative organizations. These need different skills, especially managerial and financial. Moreover, there is a vast expenditure in infrastructure, such as club premises, referees, video monitoring, and many others. There is also enormous expenditure on the players. They are bought and sold from club to club and are truly an international commodity, commanding on occasions enormous prices, sometimes described as what can be termed telephone number wages, although even this may be an understatement in some cases. So what makes a good footballer? In the first place, he, or increasingly nowadays she is, women's football is catching up fast recently. He must have ability. He must also have luck. Without luck, a person of ability may not be picked up at a young enough age and be trained and so-called shaped up to fit into the game. It used to be more hit and miss in the past. But in more recent times, the decision by any club to buy or sell a player is based a lot more on scientific studies of that player. I was interested in an article in the Sunday Times of the 23rd of August by Jonathan Norcroft, in which he described how the game will be more intense and relentless this season. He then described how, at every club, there is further training and one-to-one sessions between the coach and the players. But above all, science now can identify many of the abilities of a player may have and guide the clubs as to whether this is the one they should sign up or not, depending on the needs of this club or a particular deficiency in the lineup of the team. So some firms have come up with tools they developed enabling the study of every single action of a player, including how fast he can run, what does he do when he has the ball or when he does not have the ball, and everything is measured with an accuracy that was never done before. It is known that some players may cover 11 miles or more during a game, and this game could be one of many during the week. But it's not only physical ability. It's also mental ability and mental strength, as well as intelligence in reading the game, second by second, placing himself in the right position in anticipation of the ball or an action, and being so accurate in kicking it appropriately. So, watching a game with my own eyes may give me some pleasure, but I pity the coach who has to watch every little move or no move from his players. So much energy, emotion, time, thought and money is invested in this beautiful game, as it is called. That, I feel, has become a blend of human endeavor that is taking a distinct scientific cue for it to progress. Whether in future we can turn it into a full AI or artificial intelligence game, I do not know. But I would easily anticipate such a game to be in our kids' hands any time now, if it isn't already in their hands. But for the time being, I'm happy to watch it as a human game. And may the best club win. I mean, may Liverpool win. Chelsea and Manchester fans, please forgive. Goodbye.